Everybody, hey, what's up? What's up? Welcome back. This is Up Back Through, a podcast brought to you by Running the Show, a blog for everybody in love with the beautiful game. My name is Eddie Prue. I am a skills and technique coach based in Seattle, Washington, in the United States, and joined, as always, by our tactical and tech and just overall soccer master, David Salini from Sweden, based out of Linköping, Sweden. So it's been a few weeks since we've recorded, but we are back, and it's great to be back because the Premier League is just around the corner. It's been a great summer of Euro football, but nothing beats the Premier League, and we are very excited. So good morning to you, David. Welcome back. How was your vacation? You were on vacation in Greece for a long time, so I hope you enjoyed that, and it's great to hear from you again, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Andy. Yeah, had a wonderful vacation in Greece. And probably the highlight being the Euro final when Italy beat England on penalties. That was a highlight of my summer. So yeah, good to be back. Good to be back. A lot of coaching going on for me, and happy to get the podcast up and running again. And hopefully we'll be able to delve into some nice topics and matters over the next, I don't know, 9 months really. And the Premier League starting at the weekend will just be very interesting. It's we have a very exciting season ahead of us, I think, in England. So good to get going again, and yeah, happy to be back chatting to my good pal from Seattle.
Beautiful, yeah, man. You said it. 9 months of Premier League football ahead of us, and it'll be good to it's a weird state of influx and kind of confusion with everything with COVID and everything, but there will be fans in the stands. That'll be an incredible return for football. People need the football in England and in the world, period, so that'll be quite the relief to see people back in the stadiums. And my goodness, man, there's been some movement in the off season. So this is it's exciting. There's a lot to talk about. Why don't we start with United? Cause that was kind of the first marquee summer signing that was made was Jadon Sancho moving back to England from Borussia Dortmund. And that's going to open up a whole new kind of dynamic for United. Or what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I mean, United done well in recent transfer windows in general, I think. I still think there's a hole in central midfield. I would really like someone to come in and play in like a holding role in between Pogba and Fernandes. I think that would make United very, very, very good. I think they have a wonderful squad in terms of the options they have now, but I think that's the position where I feel like they're lacking. We did a podcast, obviously, where we spoke about this, and I mean, I can't help but think that Tchouaméni at Monaco would still be a wonderful signing, especially if they would go out against Shakhtar in the Champions League qualifiers next week. And just quickly on that, like, what are the odds that two of our favorite teams to watch, I think, in Europe this season, Shakhtar and Monaco, will go up against each other. So one of them won't be able to qualify. Well, we have other ties that aren't looking as tasty beforehand. So that's just a bit disappointing that they will play each other already there. But in terms of United, I think Sancho will give United more balance in attack. I think they've lacked a natural option to the right. I think Sancho's played mostly on the left for Dortmund in recent seasons, but he can definitely play on the right. He will bring a sense of unpredictability to the attack with his trickery, and he obviously a wonderful assist maker. He will feed the likes of Cavani when he plays, and he will get Greenwood to play in more central areas and probably feed him with good, good passes and crosses and stuff, and then when Rashford comes in, you'll have two very exciting wide players coming off either wing, while you have someone like Greenwood or Cavani playing centrally, or Martial's still there as well. So you get a lot of more options. I think Sancho can play across the front. He could probably play as a 10 as well. And most importantly, he takes the creative burden a bit off the shoulders of Fernandes. So I think he will give us more options in attack. In terms of the other signing, Varane, I feel like that's the perfect centre back United could have signed. They needed someone who can cover him behind Maguire, someone with a bit of pace, which we've seen that the other centre backs, like, they don't have it. So I think he's an upgrade on Lindelof. He's also an upgrade on every centre back they have in the squad, really, because he's one of the best in the world. So should be able to make a really strong partnership with Maguire work. And that makes United's back four look really strong, with Shaw to the left and Wan-Bissaka to the right. And I know people have their misgivings about Wan-Bissaka, but I mean, I don't think that that position will be crucial for United winning the league. I think you can easily win the league with a right back who's not, you know, top of the line. And he's definitely done well, and he's improving all the time. And playing next to Varane will hopefully give him a bit more license to get forward, as well as Varane can cover him behind him. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the two players coming in. I still think they need to do something in midfield, because I don't think they will change too much in terms of how the way they play, because they haven't changed anything for like 3 years in terms of improving their standards in possession. So I can't see that happening. So it's going to be about getting the best players on the pitch for as often as possible. And then, you know, good players can win games. And that's United's chance for really challenging City for the crown, I think.
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you said. I do believe that the holding midfield role is a little bit, you know, the shaky piece of the puzzle, but you never know, because McTominay has been coming into his own since he's made his debut for the first team. I wouldn't say he's a player that's going to win you the Premier League, but he may be continuing to improve. And Fred has been doing the same, kind of, you know, I kind of wrote Fred off after his first season at United, but he's only improved as well. So you never know, that partnership might improve. As far as Varane goes, I think that is a great signing. A lot of Twitter chatter about, like, you know, can this guy cut it in the Premier League? I have no doubt that he will be a top-notch Premier League center back. In terms of your right back, I think exactly what you said, that's correct. It takes me back to a quote that I had from a coach that I had growing up, that you don't have to be good, you just have to be good enough.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what Wan-Bissaka is. He's a right back that's definitely good enough to win a Premier League. And yeah, as far as Sancho goes, he's going to add an entire new dynamic. The English factor is there. You know, having English players in your team is incredibly important. That's why teams kind of, I don't want to say they overpay, because we're going to get to Jack Grealish soon, so I don't want to say they overpay for English players, but having English players in the English league is a huge advantage. So I think that's a great signing for you guys, to bring him back to England. There is something unpredictable about a player, unpredictable in a good way, I'll say, you know, like really kind of you know, like cultured and mature, and bringing a new, like, kind of dynamic to the English game from an English player who's played outside of England and come back. It doesn't happen often, but for example, you know, if it weren't for the injuries, I'd highlight Owen Hargreaves, you know, as a player that was kind of in a similar mold, that, you know, went outside of England and learned a different style of football and then came back. But anyway, yeah, United are going to be an interesting beast this season. So I can't wait to see what happens with them. But on to City, if we can, for a moment. Obviously, the marquee signing there has been Jack Grealish. it's going to be a crazy season for City. Let me get your thoughts on that signing, first of all, and what you think City need, and what you think they've lost in this season with Aguero. And you know, obviously the speculation around Harry Kane has been really heavy. So what are your thoughts on City right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, from an outsider looking in, and someone who's not, you know, particularly keen on City doing brilliantly again, I'd say, first of all, it's exciting to see someone like Grealish move to a big club. I mean, I think most people watching the Premier League over the last, I don't know, two seasons, I mean, we've all been kind of taken with his performances, his style, his sort of like arrogance on the pitch, but doesn't really translate off the pitch. He seems to be a wonderful character, and someone who really, you know, takes care of fans when he meets them in the streets and stuff. He always seems to stop and do, you know, photographs and signing stuff. And you hear all these stories coming out from how he's treated, you know, children when he's been away with Villa and with England. And yeah, he seems like a great character. But on the pitch, he seems like someone he plays with swagger. He plays with a certain charisma, which always stuck out to me as someone, okay, this is someone who should play at Man United, because he had that sense of almost that Cantona kind of, I don't know, basically the overall perception of him is that he's someone who, when he steps onto a pitch, that's where everyone's looking. And that sort of character has, you know, traditionally played at Old Trafford. So I've always seen him as sort of a perfect United player, and therefore it's going to be interesting to see how he does at City, where they haven't really had, you know, the superstar. They've had a lot of, you know, brilliant footballers, but they haven't really had the, you know, the one who stands above everyone else. I'm not saying that Grealish will do that either. I think he will adapt to City rather than City adapting to him, which is going to be interesting. And just the fact that both United and City could potentially play front threes with only English players, like, that's regardless if City sign Kane or not. It's just that can't be bad for English football if you have Sterling, Foden, Grealish playing for City, and Sancho, Greenwood, Rashford playing for United. That can only be good for English football. I think in terms of his role, that he'll most likely start on the left as he did in the Community Shield. But I think his position will be the David Silva sort of role in the end, where he will play. He will move centrally when he grasps everything Pep wants him to understand. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him make the sort of transition into an all-action kind of midfielder like De Bruyne and Silva did, because they weren't these pressing and, you know, tackling players that they became under Pep Guardiola. So I think for Grealish, he will definitely move centrally in the end, and then he will have to adapt to a quicker style of play, where when he gets the ball, he won't be able to stop with it and just have people drawn onto him and him like trying to get fouls and stuff. He will have to play quicker, and I think in terms of his intelligence, he will definitely be able to do that. But it will take a bit of a period of bedding in to the new system and the new thoughts and the new ideas of his new manager. But once he's settled, I think he will play in that central role ahead of a holding midfielder, with maybe De Bruyne to the right, him slightly to the left, and then they'll have someone playing like Sterling playing wide on the left. I think he will be a game changer in the way City can go and improve their ability to break down deep defenses, which is going to be key, especially if they don't sign Kane, because if they don't sign an out and out proper number nine, they're going to keep playing probably with someone as a false nine. So maybe Foden will play centrally, or maybe, yeah, De Bruyne will play centrally in certain games. And then they need someone with you know, even more quality to unpick those packed defenses. And then Grealish is, you know, the perfect player, because he can dribble past people. He can play short passes through the lines. He can maybe drift slightly to the left and put dangerous crosses in towards the back post where people can come running at pace. So yeah, really excited to see how he does. What's your thoughts? I mean, as a City fan, to see that man walk in through the door.
Yeah, well, I mean, you took a couple of my talking points there, because you said exactly what I no, you said exactly what I was thinking too, is that I think that he will be the most natural replacement for David Silva, in that he has this quality that Silva had, that you can be like, he can be in a really dangerous area and have the ball at his feet and still kind of like trick the defense, like, and it's tough to describe in words, but it's like, it's this thing where you kind of lull the defense to sleep and make them think like, okay, we're set, we're organized, we're okay, even though like this player that's incredibly creative and dangerous has the ball at their feet. But just by like the way that he has the ball and the way that like he kind of exerts this energy, like it just kind of like makes this false sense of security for the defenders of the opposition. So I think that, in my opinion, this brings me to my next point. You know, City are about to spend an astronomical amount of money on Harry Kane, when, in my opinion, and this has made me really unpopular with City fans on Twitter recently, I don't think we need it. I don't think we need to spend this money. And if we are going to spend that money, if we are going to spend 150 million, I don't know why we're not going to go for Haaland instead. But I think that a player like Grealish, playing with a player like De Bruyne, you know, I think that we're going to have so much possession in such dangerous areas that a player like Jesus or a player like Torres might be about to become is going to be the perfect type of striker in that formation, because we're going to be able to work the ball so deep and then have that possession in such a sustained fashion, which is what David Silva gave us. He gave us that, like, that possession high off the pitch where it was just so calm, when if it was another player, it would seem like it was all hands on deck, you know, like we have to defend. Whereas this quality that I'm talking about is like, they would have this possession in such dangerous areas, and yet they would still kind of just lull the defense to sleep because they're so smooth, they're so calm themselves. So having a player like that, I feel like we're just going to have so much more dangerous possessions, so many more chances created. And to me, I think it's time we give Gabriel Jesus a chance to play, to be our, you know, our number one choice at striker. People forget that last season when we won 21 games in a row, we didn't play with Aguero often. We didn't play with a number nine hardly ever. We played with a front three. We played with, you know, Gundogan was the one that was scored. Like he scored 11 league goals last year. He was a surprise name on the score sheet, like almost week in, week out. That's going to happen again. You know, like Mahrez is going to chip in with, you know, 10 plus goals. Sterling is going to chip in. We're going to score goals from everywhere. I think that, in my opinion, if we can't get Kane for a reasonable price, we can still win everything. We can still even win the Champions League with Jesus. And that's going to, if there's any City fans that listen to this, they're going to have their head in their hands. But that's my opinion. I really think that we're going to be able to create that many chances. We're going to have that kind of build up and possession play with the midfield and the wingers that we have, that's going to be the situation. We're going to be able to create chances from, you know, those clever little through balls from the top of the box, not so much like working it wide and whipping it in. Like, that's just going to be the style of play that we have that Grealish adds to City. So that's my opinion. That's who I think he's going to affect City. And I can't wait to see, because I think I'm going to be right. I think I'm going to be right about that. So
I think in terms of that, I mean, I get a feeling when Pep was at Barcelona and they signed Zlatan, because then I felt the idea was that they wanted someone someone who could act as more of a target man as well and link play if Barcelona were locked in and they couldn't really get through a team with their you know, short passing really. And I mean, to be honest, there weren't many teams like that they couldn't get through with the players they had at that point. But they wanted something extra, like some kind of extra dimension in terms of their attacking play. And I think with all the players they have now, it's quite similar to that Barcelona team. They have a lot of very, very good attacking midfielders and wingers who can play in tight spaces. But they lack that player who can maybe just with his sheer... Because if they sign Kane, you know he's going to score goals, and you know he's good in the air. He has the physicality to maybe even get, I don't know, one or two centre backs kind of kind of pinned down just by him. So that will create space for others. And I don't think, with all due respect to Jesus, I don't think he has that same reputation when it comes to if City play at home against, I don't know, the Wolves, and they go there. I think if they see Jesus on the team sheet, they will only play like one center back really close to him probably, and say, okay, then it's the other center back will have to be ready for this area or whatever. But if they have Kane, they might have, okay, we need both center backs to stay closer, because if we give Kane an inch, he will get a goal, and then that in turn will create space for someone else. If you follow along my trail of thought there, because if Kane's there, you get space for others. If Kane's not there, you get less space for others, but you might get, obviously you save the money, and you might be able to invest it next year for half that price for Haaland when his clause drops to 75 million. So I think that might be the thinking, that they want someone who can act as a target for crosses, like from De Bruyne from that inside right channel, from Grealish maybe from the inside left. And just also Kane's good at dropping and linking play as well, so he fits into that mold of striker that Pep wants. But yeah, I'm with you actually. I think City will probably be just fine without signing him, and if it's just about signing a striker who can come in and replace some of what Aguero did, I mean, there are other options to go for. I mean, they could go for someone like Vlahovic for like 40 million or whatever. Kane would be, you know, fantastic for City, and I understand why they're looking at him, but it feels like it could be a bit of a waste with that sort of money coming in. On the other hand, City, they have a lot of money, don't they? So it might not be as big a deal for them as it is for other clubs. Interesting to see what happens. It seems like he really wants to leave, and normally when players want to leave, they leave. So, I think City will somehow get this over the line. It's a no-brainer, and it's also a no-brainer, if that makes sense.
You're exactly right.
It's not a necessity. It's more of a luxury, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they see the light, you know, they see the transfers happening elsewhere in Europe, you know, obviously Messi. And they see, they think like, you know, if we're going to beat a team like PSG in the Champions League, we need a marquee striker. And I think that's where the mindset comes from. But again, to be honest, you know, City, they put so much effort and so much thought into every signing they make, you know, statistically and otherwise. They have the best people in the world to make those decisions, mainly Tsiki. I can't even pronounce his last name, but I trust whatever City decide. From even from a financial perspective, you know, like I know they overpay at times perhaps, but they always know what they're doing in such a you know, like meticulous way. So whatever they decide to do, I'll trust them. I love them to death. Whatever they decide, I'm with them, obviously. But in my opinion, we can win everything with Gabriel Jesus and Ferran Torres coming into his own. I think Torres, who knows, that this kid could explode. He could honestly be the most surprise package of the Premier League season. He could score 20 league goals if everything works out for him. So you never know, but we'll see. Next couple of weeks, we'll tell all. But on that note, let's talk about some other potential transfers or some other transfers that have happened around the league. Chelsea just brought in Lukaku for £97 million. Who else did they sign for big money? It's escaping me right now. What's their other signing of the summer, Ben, thus far?
I think it's only him. They've signed the goalkeeper, but Bettinelli. But I think Lukaku is the only proper first team sign. They've always been in for Koundé, but as of now,
that's what I was thinking of, was Koundé. But that almost looked like a done deal for a little while, which would have been, I think, a great signing. But
that's easy to get over the line.
No, they didn't, and I thought there was some talk of Zuma going the other way, and Yeah, but no, like we've talked about on previous podcasts, you know, Sevilla are very clever with their business, and they knew that Koundé is really a high value player, and they should get paid for a player like that. They should get paid big time. So I'm glad that he hasn't ended up at Chelsea thus far, but the signing of Lukaku is a sign of intention for them, because Werner was that signing last summer. He hasn't done, or was it, you know, much, was it last summer? So just last summer that he signed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was their solution to striker last summer. It hasn't panned out exactly how they wanted, but they still managed to win the Champions League with him. So now they're really, you know, signaling their intention with the signing of Lukaku. And he was happy to come back. He said that he's always been a Blue, and he's almost guaranteed goals in the Premier League. His goal scoring record for Everton and United is pretty top class, so that'll be something to look out for. On across London, from Chelsea and North London, Tottenham have pulled off a pretty good signing of a player that we've talked about before. Very good signing, I should say, not even pretty good. Signing of Sir Romero from Atalanta. That's going to be a great addition to their team. So what do you see? How do you see those two signings panning out for those teams?
I think Lukaku, as you said, he's a guarantee for goals. I don't think there's much of a change in the way City play, in the way Chelsea will play. I think Lukaku has played for Conte now and worked, you know, really hard out of possession, so he should be able to make the transition to Chelsea's pressing quite easily, I think. They will lose a bit of I wouldn't say pace, because Lukaku is really quick, but in terms of the combination play they had centrally with when they played someone like Havertz as the number nine with Mount and Ziyech behind him, or they played Werner with his ability to run in behind, they will lose maybe a bit of that interchange between the front three, but they will get someone who will, as I said that Kane could do at City, Lukaku will pin defenders, because he can do it physically, but he will also do it just by being there, because people know that if you give Lukaku a chance, he will most likely put it away. So he's a great signing. He will create space for us. And I think Lukaku, Havertz, Mount, that could make for a really, really interesting front three. And then with the wing-backs overlapping and getting into the final third as well, I think Chelsea have a lot about them. And then with the likes of Jorginho and Kante and Kovacic in midfield, you have players who can control games for you. They have a really solid defensive system as well, and they're very good in possession. So I think Chelsea will definitely challenge. I mean, Chelsea should challenge. If you win the Champions League and then you sign a striker for almost £100 million, then you should definitely be able to challenge for the league title. So Chelsea will definitely be there. I think Chelsea and City are looking strongest for me, because they have really good squads and fantastic coaches. I think United have a very, very good squad. Still not sure about the coach. I think Liverpool's done a good deal for themselves, getting Konate in from Leipzig, so they will definitely be in and thereabouts. So I think those four are looking the strongest. But as you said, Spurs signing Romero is a wonderful signing for them. He will allow them to play higher up the pitch. He will allow them to play a back three if Nuno wants to do that, which he did, you know, for long spells at Wolves. Basically every game, I think. I haven't watched all games, but mostly he played a back three there. So Romero's played in that system for a season and a half, I think, at Atalanta, and he played in that system for Genoa. So he will definitely slot in, you know, nicely into a central centre-back role in the back three. He can also play in a back four, so he's a brilliant signing. He was the best centre-back in Serie A last season. So he will make them better. I also think the signing of Brian Gil from Spain is interesting, because he did really well at the under 21 Euros. When I watched him, he looked very sharp and very good 1v1, good crossing ability. So if they can keep hold of Kane, they have a perfect player to provide him with chances from the left. So yeah, Spurs looking interesting. I think just getting, it sounds disrespectful, but just getting Mourinho out and getting a new coach in who might have a different sort of philosophy in the way he deals with players, I think a long way, because they have a really good squad. They have a lot of good players. I mean, just Dele Alli and Ndombele, Højbjerg, we saw at the Euros what he can do. And then obviously all the attackers that they've signed with Son and Kane and all these players, and they have some decent defenders as well. Yeah, I think Tottenham can be a surprise, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Tottenham actually, you know, even getting into the top four if Nuno can get everything working for them. Low-key, I think their squad is looking really strong, and if Nuno can get it up and running quite quickly, I think they will definitely be able to take advantage of either of the four favorites slipping up at any point during the season and you know, force their way into the top four. So yeah, I'm very excited to see Spurs. My younger brother is a Spurs fan. He's suffered in silence in the last few years. to see them move up the table a bit, and you see his confidence come back, because then that would always make good discussion. So yeah, hopefully Spurs can do well.
Yeah, and I just want to kind of like elaborate on that, because I think you kind of affirmed a lot of the things we've said on this pod in the past, and that one is we speculated that Nuno would make a great Spurs manager just before he was appointed, but then and again, like, he's such a great man manager, so I think he could get the best out of a player like Ndombele, who's shown that he's world class before and hasn't really shown very, very few glimpses of Tottenham. But then also, who knows if he can revitalize a player like Dele Alli? Who knows what he can get out of like a player like Ndombele? If he can get players really performing and feeling comfortable and confident, then again, you like you said, you never know what Spurs are capable of. And if they keep hold of Kane, then they do have a player that can lead them to a very high position in the table for sure. I do worry about their outside back positions, and if they could sign a really quality central midfield player, then I think that would help them a lot. Højbjerg is class, but I don't think he's the player. Again, I don't think he's a player that, as a central midfielder, will win, you know, will guide a team to like towards the top of the Premier League. But no, I'm very interested to see what happens with Spurs this season, and like you said, Brian Gill. Exciting talent. I think that was a good bit of business to let Lamela go the other way, even though he's been a great servant for the club over the years. But Gil looks like a perfect, to me, he looks like a young Angel Di Maria, just like aggressive, wants to take players on, very, very good left foot. So yeah, another one to look out for. If we can get outside the top four for a second, or the potential top four, who else in the league are you excited to watch this season?
I'm always excited to watch Leicester, because I think they're the best run club in the league based on the level they're at. I mean, the signings they've made with Soumaré, who we said before that they were sort of smitten with, and then Patson Daka coming in as well, who I highlighted for Juventus in our Juventus episode. And then, they look likely to do well once again, and they won the Community Shield, they won the FA Cup last season. I mean, they're slowly making moves, and they're making their squad stronger, and they haven't really lost any key player, I think, this summer. So they will definitely improve. So I will look at them closely this season. But the team that's really interesting to me is actually Norwich. Because they're back up. They came up a few years ago, went straight down, after not really being able to strengthen the squad in the manner they wanted to, I think, or they maybe took a gamble with the players they had. But now they've made a lot of deals that look interesting. They've signed two players from Werder Bremen, the American Josh Sargent, and then a favorite of mine, Milot Rashica, winger who's very tricky, brilliant crosser. He's done really well in the Netherlands before, and now in Germany. So he's someone who I think will be a great fit for the Premier League, Rashica. in terms of midfield players, they brought Billy Gilmore in on loan from Chelsea, so he's going to play in that central midfield area, and that seems like a good fit with the way they want to play. They brought some two Greek players in. I haven't seen them play, but I mean, when Norwich go for players, they normally, like you were confident the City go for smart deals. I think Norwich's sporting director Stuart Gibson is our former coach. Stuart Weber is a wonderful, wonderfully bright sporting director and someone who I think will move to a bigger club soon. So if he's found two players in Greece, I think we can be quite confident that they will do well. They've spent a lot of money for being Norwich on those players, a total of £17 million. So they will probably be interesting to see. I think Ben Gibson from Burnley is a good signing for the defensive line. And they've signed a midfielder from Nice as well, called Lee Melou. So I think Norwich will be interesting to follow, and it will be interesting to see if they have learned any lessons from when they were up 2 years ago and went straight down. And it seems like they've opted this time to go for more signings into the squad, and we'll see if that's the way to go, if they made too many signings or if they've made just the right amount and will be able to stay up. They play a very exciting style of football as well. So Norwich is going to be my team to watch. Do you have any teams to watch, or do you just want to place your bet for how the season will pan out? Who's going to win it and stuff?
Well, my bet is that City will win it. that's my hope. It'll be a great title race this year. I think United will have a team that can challenge finally. Chelsea will obviously be up there. I think Liverpool will fade a little bit. They've signed Konate to reinforce the center back, but I don't think Virgil will be the same center back that he was before the knee injury, unfortunately. And they haven't done much to strengthen. You know, Wijnaldum was a big loss for them. They haven't done a lot to replace him. And you know, like, even if you're front three, even it doesn't matter what your squad looks like, you still have to improve always. You know, we saw that interview with Pep with Rio Ferdinand earlier this year, where he's talking about, even if your squad is great, you still have to shake, you still have to move, you still have to, you know, like, mix it up and, you know, sign players to challenge players, etc. So I don't think Liverpool have done that this offseason. And I feel like they're going to slip. I feel like they're going to kind of be fighting for that top four place. But outside of that, I'm excited to see Leeds again. The style that Bielsa plays is so exciting. It's so attacking. It's so, like, just throw all caution to the wind and just attack, attack, attack. And they haven't really lost much in terms of their squad. They've added, they've signed Jack Harrison on a permanent deal from City, which I'm happy to see. You know, I think he's a great kid. I think he's a great player. He really produced a lot of, off the top of my head, I don't know his stats from last season, but I think he had a good number of goals and assists. I think he's that kind of contributor. Calvin Phillips obviously had a great World Cup or Euro with England. So that should be boding well for his confidence. I think Patrick Bamford will continue to score goals. They've looked good in preseason. They've signed Junior Firpo from Barcelona. I'm excited to see what they do, honestly. You know, like, usually a team that comes up from the championship, they can survive one season, and then that second season is really the test of, you know, how much they can maintain and stay in the Premier League. And I think Leeds have it, especially with Bielsa. So I'm just excited to see them again. I think they'll stay in the Premier League, and I think they'll continue to surprise and continue to entertain.
Yeah. So at the other end, who do you see struggling? Who do you see going down? I know from following you on Twitter that you have one team in particular that you feel will struggle.
Yeah. No, I feel for them too, but I just don't see at this moment. I just don't see how Southampton stay up. You know, they've been battling relegation for a few seasons, and they have, I love Hasenhüttl. I think he's a great manager, but I just don't think they have the squad. I don't know if Ward-Prowse is going to leave before the transfer window. I know we speculated that he would be great for a great fit for a team like Tottenham, and now he's been linked with Tottenham. But I, you know, and I think Vestergaard actually officially moved to Leicester yet?
Yeah.
So that's done. That was he was a big time player for them. So with that departure and the potential departure of their captain and kind of the heartbeat of their team, Ward-Prowse, I just don't see them staying up. So you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't think they have the squad for the Premier League.
Yeah, and I think Newcastle will struggle again. They did well last season, I think, to stay up, and I think they will fight against relegation again. I think Watford will be in that mix as well. I think obviously Brentford are new to the league, so they will fight for their lives as well. And yeah, it's gonna be interesting at the bottom of the league. It's gonna be interesting at the top of the league. It's gonna be interesting in the middle. I mean, someone like Patrick Vieira coming into Crystal Palace will obviously be interesting. You know, Rafa Benitez at Everton, not Liverpool, will also be how that pans out if they don't do well. And also, like, how will David Moyes' West Ham do this season? I mean, there's so many plot lines, and we haven't even mentioned Wolves, who've got a new manager, Bruno Lage from Benfica, who's done really well in Portugal, and they've signed some interesting players as well with the likes of Trincao from Barcelona and a good goalkeeper in José Sá from Olympiacos. So there are so many interesting teams to see this season in England, and yeah, it's gonna be great to see the league kick off tonight with Brentford hosting Arsenal. So yeah, I think that's a wrap, isn't it?
That should be a wrap on the Premier League 21-22 season, and man, I can't wait. It's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be unpredictable as always, and it's gonna be great. So I'm glad that it's finally that time of year again, and I'm glad that we are back here on Up Back Through. And yeah, thanks for joining us, David. And we look forward to more content and more opinions. And it's going to be a great Premier League season and beyond. We'll be back with obviously content from Serie A, Spain, everywhere. You know, we don't stick ourselves in one box here on Up Back Through. So we will definitely be back with opinions and content from all across Europe and beyond. So no, I'm excited, man. And thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure.
So great. Thanks, everybody. We will be back soon after a couple of rounds of, or after one round of Premier League. So take care and enjoy this weekend. So, yep. Good night, everybody.